Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to start at verse 13. Let's start on verse 13. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What's my reputation? Who do men think I am? Who do they say I am?" And this is extremely important because there's a lot of answers. Could be a good man. You're one of the best men. I mean, Muslims believe that. Muslims believe Jesus is a good man. They even believe he's better than Muhammad. Muhammad was a scoundrel. So they don't. There's no contest there. And the Muslims don't put him up as a great man. What they put him up with is a great prophet. They say he's the last prophet. But we have a different take on that. Jesus said that if anyone adds to this book, speaking of the book of Revelation that was written by him, it's the only book that he wrote, by the way. Jesus didn't write Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those were all testimonies about him by men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus actually wrote the book of Revelation and dictated it through his angel to John, who wrote down all the words of Jesus. So you can actually see the book that Jesus wrote. But he wrote in the end of that book that if anybody adds to this book, let him be accursed. If you add any more prophecies to this book, you're accursed. And so Muhammad is actually, in the eyes of God, the true God, accursed. And I say the true God because Allah is a false God. He's not a God at all. He's nothing. Allah was just one of, there were over 360 gods in the Kaaba, which is in Mecca, a little box or a little area in the middle of Mecca, that they had all these gods, and Muhammad just picked one of them out. His name happened to be Allah. So he just canceled all the other gods and took one, but still all idols. So he just took one idol out of the one a day brand. But Muhammad then is a liar, a false prophet, according to Christianity. So Jesus said, don't add or take away. Don't add or take away. And of course, Muhammad did. He added and took away. And for the Muslim, Jesus is a good man, a very good man. So they know who he is. He's a good man. Even like his mom. You know, Mary, she's a good woman. But he's not the Son of God. So took something away and added some more nonsense about what Gabriel said. All right, so that's a Christian view. I mean, it's not a put-down. It's just simply saying they're totally deceived, and they're not going to go up and get a lot of beer and girls. So that's completely silly, and I can see the 18-year-old Muslim falling for that. But when you're about 40 or 50, that tends to be less and less interesting. So you don't find a lot of martyrs among the older ones. So it's not a religion for girls. It's a tough one for girls. And a lot of the Muslim girls would like to get out of it, but it's pretty hard. And then once the moms get into it, they're the ones that actually uphold a lot of it. A lot of the Muslim men just live a double life. But a lot of the moms insist on, you know, sticking to the law. If their son becomes a Christian, they kill him. If the daughters, you know, do something or other and so on. So they have a rough kind of justice, and there's no mercy in that religion. I'm not talking about Muslim. I'm just talking about Jesus. Who am I? And the Muslims have not a concept, not a clue. Who is Jesus? Is he a lawgiver like Moses? Is he a savior? Is he a lord and king that, you know, tells us what to do? I mean, who is he? So everybody has to know. And so he says, well, who do men say that I am? Peter said, well, some say, or actually all the disciples were answering, well, some say John the Baptist. You're John the Baptist, come back from the dead. Oh, okay, well, what do others say? Some say Elijah. Remember that guy who did a lot of miracles and stuff? You're kind of like him, a miracle worker guy. So you're kind of like John the Baptist, kingdom of God talk and so on, repent and all that stuff. You're kind of like that. Then you're kind of like Elijah, but then you're kind of like Jeremiah. But then you're kind of like maybe one of the other, and so they didn't really know. They just said, people have different opinions. Imagine having so many opinions of who Jesus is. So then he said, okay, knock all that off. Forget the pinion pole thing. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say? Let me not ask what in general, what are the papers saying? Who do you personally say that I am? Now, that question is asked of you. Who is Jesus to you? Is he a good example? Didn't do any sinning. And, he's a nice guy. So if that's true, hallelujah. There's a nice guy. How many know that nice guys, nice guys don't help? I mean, it's nice that he's nice, but it doesn't help me a bit. I'm glad he was nice, but I'm not. So there's a big contrast right there. Jesus was nice, I'm not nice. So I don't want to hear about how Jesus behaved his mom and Jesus did all this good stuff and so on and so forth. Because I'm nasty by comparison. I'm shallow. I'll think of earthly things. He was always talking heavenly things. I don't think he ever said pass the butter. I think he would say it in a holy kind of way. Mine is, hey, give me that toast. I'll take that. I've got totally contrast. So his example, although wonderful, and even the Muslims say so, and even the Jewish people, he's a good man. But he wasn't the Son of God. So that's a kind of a big issue there as well. Is he or isn't he? I mean, you say, what do you say? Well, he's a good man. He's like John the Baptist, Elijah, maybe Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He's somebody special somehow. Maybe he's the Messiah. Maybe he's, the guy everybody's waiting for. Well, others said he's a savior. He's the guy that comes, and when you sin, he pays for you, he gets killed, and you get off scot-free. Whew! I'll take one of those. That sounds good, because I've stacked up a whole bunch of sins. Some I've done, some I've thought, and some I'm hoping to do someday. I'm into sin. How many here are into sin? Just kind of keep it up even after being a Christian. Have Christian sins. We've got new sins that we didn't have as pagans. Criticism of others and stuff. We didn't have that as a pagan. And so that's a good one. Hypocrisy. That's a big one among us Christians. And stuff like that. So we got plenty of sin, but I'm glad Jesus is a savior and forgive all my sins. I'll take that guy. So some said, he's a good man. Others said he's a savior. But others said he's a king. He's a lord. Well, lords are not the same as saviors. One thing I like about saviors is when you do bad, they get killed. I like that idea. I don't know why. That just pleases me immensely because when I do bad, I thought I was going to get a whooping. But Jesus took it for me, so I like that idea. Jesus, what are you doing? Well, you did bad, so I'm going to have to get a spanking. You're going to get the spanking instead of me? Yahoo! I don't know. That pleases me. That is totally pleases me. I'm incredibly thankful for that. Hey, thanks. It's cool. So let me get this straight now. I sin and you get killed. I love it. I love it. I've told you that used to happen when my sister got a spanking. Maybe we'd both be doing wrong, but she'd get caught and she'd get the spanking. I just go in the other room and laugh. I thought it was great. Yahoo! I just thought it was great when someone else gets spanked for something I've done. Doesn't bother me a bit. I have no conscience at all about that. That's bad, Joe. I was telling you that was bad. But I loved it. I was bad. I was bad, and I like being bad. I didn't mind being bad. Bad seemed to be kind of natural to me. That's a guy thing. I don't think girls are like that, but guys are like that. Naturally bad. Amen? Girls are nicer. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. I got to think about that for a second. Because I have. Have you ever listened in on women's conversations? I mean, girls can be nasty and oh man, they can really be treacherous. They can tell bad stories and whatnot. So anyway, I like the idea that he's Savior. But the Lord part, where he wants to rule me and, you know, not let me go to sleep when I want or eat what I want or marry whom I want or divorce whom I want or just kind of tell me what to do. I hate that part. That part where he won't let me be me. Maybe I want to be self-pitying for a couple hours. Has anybody ever wanted to do that? Just kind of like, well, I never seem to get ahead. Other people seem to do so much better than us. It just seems a shame. I've been pretty good, but God seems not to like me that much. And there's so-and-so, the big scoundrel, and they're doing fine. You know, and they, you know, they don't even do right. And I hate them, but still I do it in a Christian way, and so on and so forth. And so you could feel sorry for yourself, or maybe you just want to be angry for an hour or two. And Jesus doesn't say, you know, Jesus, can I be angry for just maybe 3 or 4 hours? I'll get it out of my system, get it off my chest. How many know that but Jesus says, Lord, he won't let me do it. Jim, I want you to rejoice. I don't want to. Get that off of your face right now. You start rejoicing. Hallelujah. No, Jim, I mean sincere from the heart. I don't have a heart like that. I'm mad right now. I'm going to stay mad. And I'm mad that you don't want me to be mad. That makes me mad. And so I don't want him to be my Lord. He'll make me go to bed when he wants me to go to bed. What if I want to watch some bad show or shallow show? There's a lot of those. You know, so I might just want to watch some TV this week. Jim, you get in there and read the Bible. I don't want to. You get in there. You're the pastor. Oh, okay, all right. They get in there. I won't have a message otherwise. I wonder if some of those sitcoms will help me, you know, so just give me something to say, get a little insight. But anyway, so Jesus as Lord, that is probably the least interesting where he's God or King or Lord or something like that to tell me what to do. How many know that that's a bog down? I'm okay that he created the world. I'm okay that he redeemed mankind. I'm okay that he was a good example. I'm okay with all that. But the Lord part, that seems to bother the church a lot. A lot of people aren't even happy that I keep teaching on that. You know, we've thinned out a lot. We used to have, these rows used to be packed out. Well, not for a long time. But anyway, I don't know. Maybe I should change the message. Get a better message. Maybe get one that's more, you know, sell better. But you know what? Jesus wants to be Lord, so I'm going to keep teaching on it because I think he likes that idea of being the Lord of your life. And I think it would help you a lot to let him lord your life rather than you, you know, doing your thing. You know, you say what you want to say, feel what you want to feel. You know, he's not just into bad behavior. He's into inner stuff, too. You know, like you can't even think a bad thought. I mean, man, that's just kind of like tight. That is strict. That's rigid. Man, what can you do if you're a Christian? You're not allowed to, you know, you're not allowed to just do what you want or feel what you want or think what you want what you want. You have to do it his way all the time. So that's so narrow. I feel like he's not going to have a lot of customers on that. Amen? He's just too narrow. Jesus, what do you think of this TV show? Jim, that's not a good one. Let's go read the Bible again. Okay, like which book do you think is interesting? You know, so let's get into Jeremiah or something. You know, where is that? It's in the Old Testament somewhere, you know. And so I don't even have the pages memorized. You know, I don't even know where everything is. I don't even know where Habakkuk is. Do y'all know where that is? You know, and I don't even know what's Habakkuk or Habakkuk, you know. So you know, Jesus, he wants to be the Lord of your life, tell you everything to think and say and do, what to eat, where to go and everything. He just wants to run your life and put you into his kingdom and king over you. That's different than saviors. Saviors, you know, they do all the suffering. But kings make you do all the suffering. You know, he says it's going to be fun, but it's not fun not to be able to be mad. It's not fun not to be able to be envious. You ever done that? You know, you just go into a mall and you just feel the envy coming on you. But it feels good after being in church for a long time. You just go in there and lust. Wow, look at that. I never had one of those. You know, you can just lust. And I stay away because it gets to you. you start wanting one. Hey, I need some new, you know, and this way I hardly buy anything or do anything. Peggy gets whatever we got, and that's about it. So, you know, I don't, because otherwise I'd probably get into stuff. Is anybody else like me? You just kind of walk in those places. I don't know, they design it so you want to buy stuff. You know, they just make you lust for it and envy it. And gee, I wish I had one of those. You know, I don't know how it is. So we went into a camping store the other day because we went out this weekend up in Oklahoma and camped out. A lot of the young people, how many are here? I think most of them are teaching in the back, but we had 10 guys, and it was great. It was great. But I went to this camping store, and it's so big, Cabela's or something up here on the highway. Whew. I mean, they had everything in there. You just look at this like, whoa, I think I'll buy that buffalo right there. You know, it's really, they got everything in there, you know, every kind of knife you could think of and tent and everything. So it's amazing. But I stay away from those kind of places. The only place that gets me is bookstores. I gotta have books. I'm lustful of books, you know. I just like to have a lot of books. So that's my claim to fame. And Dave's not even a big reader. So when I keel over, I don't know what I'm gonna do with all those books. I hope I have enough grandchildren. Got nine. We got eight, almost nine. Another few weeks. Might come early, so it could come today. But yeah, maybe one of the grandkids might like to read. That'll be good, because I've bought some good books, but none of my kids want them. So it's kind of a waste. It's amazing, Joe, how you can live your whole life and then you look back and you think, what did I accomplish? You know, did you ever think that? Yeah, that's the way I do it. It's depressing. But I'd like to accomplish something before I get out of here. You think so? Did I influence you a little bit? Yeah, that's pretty good. You influenced me. Did you know that? Yeah. It's good. You're a blessing. God is good. Who is Jesus? He asked this question. Who do men say that I am? Well, this and that and so on and so forth. But who do you say that I am? Now, Peter, who he's the first one to talk. Peter, I don't know how many are like Peter. He just had an opinion on anything. he had something to say. But this was really interesting what he said. He's, you know, it was like, hey, none of you guys get it? I know who he is. It's like, it was great. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, the question was interesting. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah. Or what he really said was, Messiah is you, Son of God. So he said, who do men say the Son of Man is? And Peter said, you're Messiah, Son of God. What he was saying was, this is interesting, those are two different titles. Son of Man means, who's the king over men? Who do people say I am? Son of Man. I'm a man. Who do they say I am among men? Well, this and that and so on and so forth. Because remember, King David, for example, was a king, but he was a son of man. He wasn't a son of God. He wasn't Jesus. He wasn't the Messiah. So they say, well, now who are you? Peter said, I know who you are. Here, you, I know exactly who you are. Messiah of Israel, that's you. Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say to that? He said, you know what? Shimon Bar-Yonah, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of John, Jonah. Hey, you know what? Your dad, you're just flesh and blood. Your dad, flesh and blood, didn't reveal that to you. You didn't figure out who I was by natural parents. You can't figure out who Jesus is if you're natural. No wonder the Muslims don't know, because they're natural. They don't know anything more than what's earth. They're earth people. It's strictly earth. Isn't that amazing? Now, a lot of Christians are too. They go to church, but they're just earth people. They have the same lusts, the same angers, the same bitterness. There's no Holy Spirit operating. There's no, you know, Jesus saving and so on. It's just, they're just talkers. They just go to church, talkers. Amen? I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just describing there's a category of people. I used to be one. Right after I got out of seminary and I was pastoring for a while, I had to get up and tell everybody, by the way, I'm not a Christian. I just thought I'd let you know, I'm not a Christian. I don't know if other pastors are, but I'm definitely not. I mean, absolutely definitely not. I mean, I just do this to get paid. I don't know why. It's just, I'm serious. And I got up and told everybody, well, you can all quit and leave if you want, but I don't believe in God. I mean, just flat don't. Now, I've looked into it a little bit, and I'm kind of interested in the subject, but actually, as long as I get paid, I'm okay with it. But I just suspicion that I probably should do something else. Be a teacher, be a businessman, be an artist, be a raise chickens, do something. I just feel I should do something else where I'm more in my element. Because actually, I'm a total phony, a complete, absolute, 100% phony. Now, I don't think too many ministers have ever talked like that, but that's the way I talked. I just got up and I was sick and tired of lying. So I just decided to tell the truth. Now, there's a lot of ministers actually like me. I don't believe in God. As a matter of fact, whenever I would have minister meetings, none of the ministers believed in God. Isn't that funny? None of them. They would go to a certain place in Texas where there's whorehouses. They would go whoring. The ministers that I was with. I was the only one that I was not even a Christian. I knew I wasn't. But I didn't go. I was the only one to sit in the cabin. You know, you all want to go? Nah. What you going to do? I don't know. Read the Bible, I guess. You know, don't you want to be with us? Not really. What are you going to do? Well, we're going to go down to a certain place. I forget where it was, but you drank big pitchers of beer and then had to go to the bathroom all night kind of thing. That didn't seem cool to me. Why are we ministers? Is this what we're all about? I mean, every minister went. It was amazing to me. What is this? You know, I'm a total pagan. I'm definitely a fake and a liar and a phony. I'm not doing that. I don't want to do that. Isn't that amazing? I was a pagan. I knew it. I didn't think I was a Christian or anything. I just thought I believed in the philosophy of Jesus. Who was he? I didn't know. I didn't know if he was God or not. I knew I wasn't a Buddhist. I wasn't a Hindu, so I guess I'm a Christian because I grew up in the West. That's about it. Is anybody as silly as I was? Is anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay. Well, that's cool. Well, I was cool. I was cool with it. But I didn't do a lot of stuff, not because I was good. Joe, I was never good. I wasn't a good person. But I just saw some consequences that I didn't particularly think were that cool or neat. So I was a loner. I just did my own thing. I always enjoyed myself. I liked myself. I wasn't worth anything, but I liked myself even though I wasn't worth anything. Is anybody like that? I don't know, you just kind of like yourself and you really have very little value. But you know, I don't know why, you just favor yourself for some reason. So, I mean, I'd heard all the teaching. It wasn't like I didn't know that Jesus was an example and a Savior and a Lord and all this stuff. I knew all that. But Peter actually got a revelation from God. And so Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonah, son of John, Johnson, Simon Johnson. He said, Simon, you know what? My Father in heaven revealed that to you, not your dad. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. It's amazing. He got a revelation from God. I always wondered what that would be like. Being a pastor, I thought it would be good if I knew God. As long as I was hawking him and so on, I always thought that might be helpful. But I didn't know him. And I really didn't want to know him because I figured he probably didn't like some of the stuff I was doing. And, you know, so I didn't really want to get too close to him or anything like that. But I also figured he probably loved me, and I liked that part. That was okay. But I didn't really want to know too much. Because I looked at Christians, and they looked like hypocrites to me. Other Christians that I knew, I was trying to check them out. You know, I'd look around, Joe, to see which one would be a genuine Christian. And it just seemed to me like they were a lot of hypocrites. All the pastors. I'm just telling you, Peggy can tell you. I used to come home and tell her, this is what these guys are into. One guy's over here, they're all skinny dipping, right here, the biggest church in town. And they're all skinny dipping and whatnot. And I go, what is this? There's another guy sitting on the thing, worshiping the moon. Yes, these are pastors. And I was thinking, you know, I probably don't fit here. because I'm too pagan to be a Christian, and apparently I'm too much of a honest person to be a liar. You know, I don't lie to myself. I lie to other people, but I'm not lying to myself. I don't believe in that stuff. And I don't believe these people believe in. What are they doing? So why am I among these hypocrites? Why don't I just be a genuine pagan? I better get out of this business. But, you know, being a pastor is an easy job. You get paid basically for just, you know, baptizing some little kids, you know, marrying them later, burying them later. That's about it. You know, and if you were a Lutheran like I was, you had to baptize the little kid, confirm the teenager, marry the 20-year-old, and then bury him when they're 80. That was about it. So if you did those four jobs, you finished. It was not much to it. I mean, this being a pastor was easy. And nobody cared that you didn't believe in the Bible or didn't believe in God or anything. They didn't care. They never even asked me. You know, like, pastor, it's really important whether you believe or not. Nobody believed. In the denomination I was in, nobody cared about believing in God. I was the only one who kept asking questions. Now, are we supposed to be homos? I would ask that question. Is that okay? I mean, it says in the Bible, I'm not that I'm believing in it, but it does say in here that you're not supposed to do that. So, you know, it seemed like the church was evolving or growing or something. It's like, wow, this is kind of like, to me, that's a phony church. To me, it's like, why do you want to do that? I used to always ask the ministers, well, if you want to drink beer, just go drink beer. But why do you want to be a pastor too? I mean, I'm not a good pastor. I don't believe in God, but I'm not lying to, I lie to the church, because that's why I stood up. I said, well, I'm tired of lying. I'll just get up and tell them, I don't believe in God. Now, I know it's going to be a shock to you, but here's a bigger one. So I had kind of a sense of humor. You don't believe in God either. I've been here for a while, and you know, people don't believe in God. You're not rejoicing always. You're not forgiving one another. You're not doing any of this stuff either. So don't judge me. Judge yourselves. That was a cool thing for a minister to get up and say. And not only that, but I like my job because I get paid for basically doing nothing. I mean, you don't have to work. It's great. Did you ever hear a minister talk like this? Well, it's me. Anyway. So I said, God, you know whom I don't believe in? I need to find out if you're really there, because if you are, I'm probably in trouble. And if you aren't, I'm going to tell on you. I am. I'll destroy the Catholic Church. I'll destroy the Protestant. I'll destroy everything. I have nothing better to do with my life, so that's what I'm going to do. Because somehow I got into this business, and I know I was checking it out to kick the tires, see if I wanted to buy it. And I could tell the people weren't buying it, and I wasn't buying it. So I just got up and said, okay, I'm a phony, you're a phony. Where do we go from here? Yeah, this was 1970 or somewhere in there. And so the charismatic movement was just starting right about that time. And do y'all remember that? That was where people started getting the Holy Spirit and eating his feathers and stuff like that. And I looked at that and I thought, whoa, I hope I never become one of these. But they're at least having fun. They're running around yelling, "Ew, get the devil out of that guy," and so on. And it was more interesting than the Lutheran thing that I was part of. So Lutheran, Catholic, Protestant, you know, Anglican, I knew all those kind of people. I knew what they were, but I didn't understand these Pentecostals. You know, they were wild, swinging from the chandeliers, jumping over benches, running around the church. You know, it was interesting to me. It's like, whoa, now there is a religion for you, handling snakes. That is cool. I mean, your eyes open up wide, because I was used to organs in church, Bach. As a Lutheran, it was just strictly Bach, never a banjo or, you know, piano or something like that. You know, we didn't have that. That just seemed to me really pagan. I mean, I was a minister now. I had a collar on, had a black robe, and all this. I did it up the way you're supposed to do it. But I knew I was having trouble on the inside. You know, I can't figure it out. Who is Jesus? That's a big question for me. I don't know how you answered that. But for me, I had to find out. Before I get out of this business, I think I'll kind of check it out, see if anybody really believes, see if Norma really believes in Jesus, whether she's happy all the time. Norma, are you happy all the time? See that? That's what I was looking for. not some hypocrite. I wanted somebody that really, 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 really did it. You know, gave the tithe happily rather than, you know, to get your name on the board or whatever. You know, really doing this stuff. So I went to all the Baptist churches. I went to all the Pentecostal churches. I went to everything I could go to. I just went anywhere, read every book, tried to get in on religion. Has anybody else ever had, you know, kind of a little journey like that? You're just checking it all out. Well, it's more interesting when you're a pastor because it's your job and so on. So it's harder when you say, I don't believe. But if a lay person says it, it's not so bad. But when a pastor gets up and says, I don't believe in God, I don't believe in him. And I don't know anyone who does. I don't know one priest, one pastor, I don't know anybody that really does. I mean, we're all kind of going to seminary, and you learn in seminaries. You go to the seminary here, and I taught at this one over here, this Bright Divinity School. I taught there. Nobody believes in God. None of the teachers, none of the, you know, they don't come like that. And if you did have a faith, they'd knock it out of you. So, then they go out and they teach all the people, and the people are confused. Like, wow, what do we believe in? Well, just God is wonderful, or something like that. It's kind of blurry. Well, how are we different from everybody? We're all going to the same place. Oh, many ways to the same place. The Catholics are on this side, and the Protestants on this side, and the Hindus on this side, and Muslims and Buddhists and whatnot. We're all kind of going to the same place. We all believe in one thing. Well, I didn't buy that. I already knew that's a stupid lie. I don't know. I don't have to be a Christian. That's stupid. And what's the point of calling yourself Christian if you're not different? Oh, yeah, well, we do it a little differently. You know, we dress this way and talk this way. Oh, I see. So there's really no basic difference. If there's no basic difference, then I don't want to be a Christian. Why be anything? Why not just be a pagan? What's the difference between pagan and Christian? Religion. I don't know. So I was digging into it and bothering a lot of people with all my questions. Hey, are we doing this right? Is this the way it's supposed to be? So I just went on a journey to find out who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? If he's an example, he's not helping me. If he's the Savior, I'm okay with that part. But I don't really want to be intimate with him or anything like that. I just want him to do whatever he's supposed to be doing, and when I die, he'll put me in heaven or something. Okay, cool. But I'm not really looking forward to the harp thing. I'm not looking forward to playing a harp for eternity. But it's better than the other place where you're shoveling coal and your tongue is falling out and all that. I don't like that. So I'm going to go for that part. But the Lord part, where you have to actually get rid of all the sin in your life, what's the point of living? I mean, I like sinning. I like doing my own thing. I like being selfish. Is anybody else here that likes selfish? Where you do what you want to do. You do what you feel like doing. You do what you think. I mean, God gave me a mind, so why shouldn't I use it? He gave me emotions, so what's wrong with them? He gave me desires. Well, shouldn't I express them? I'll behave myself a little bit. I'll adjust somewhat to people, but basically, I'll lie and then get my own way because I'm into the thing. Freud had taught that you had an id. That's a funny thing, an id. You know, he said you had this deep, deep, deep lustful thing inside of you that wanted to, you know, live. But what he also said was, in your id, there was also a life wish and a death wish. That's kind of contradictory. So you want to live, get everything going your way, but you also hate yourself. I thought that was stupid of Freud. I thought he was crazy. I mean, that sounds crazy to me. He was on coke, so of course he was crazy. But anyway, so I read all his stuff, you know, and I just thought, he's shallow. He's worthless. I can rewrite Freud. I don't even need to read Freud to rewrite it. So I read all these people and I thought, you know, who is Jesus? What's Jesus got to do with anything? Is he the Lord of my life? I'm never going to yield to him. I don't think so. And most of you don't think so either, do you? Do you want Jesus to tell you when to go to bed at night and what to eat and, you know, what you can't do and what you can't think, what you can't feel? Like here's one. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. So you're not allowed ever, ever, ever to be unhappy. It sounds neat at first until you try it. Is, man, that makes you mad that you can't be mad sometimes. It makes you, because I want to be jealous sometimes, and I want to be envious sometimes, and I want to be angry sometimes. I don't want to be happy all the time. I just don't want to. I want to get mad sometimes. I want to do it for a half an hour. Has anybody ever wanted to be mad for a whole half hour? And that sometimes I want it to go for a month. I've stretched some out for years. Has anybody ever done that? Where you can hate people and just get them good. Whenever you see them, the brow goes down and the glowering of the eyes. You dirty rat, you know, and you just, and you can do that in a marriage too. You can do that in a marriage. That's fun. Peggy and I had a lot of games like that. You know, hers was, I got you, and mine was, you didn't really. And, you know, you don't understand what I'm saying, but that's okay. Peggy was so sincere, you know, and I always thought that was one of her best games. Well, you know, so we had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. But it's actually pretty miserable. It's actually pretty miserable because we didn't have anything. All we had was, you know, each other. Do you all understand what I'm saying? It can be boring. If anybody got a boring marriage, you know what a boring marriage is? They're completely boring. Peggy would say, well, what are we going to do tonight? I don't know. Watch TV, I guess, or something. I don't know. Well, whatever we do, let's do it together. How come? That would be my thing. Like, what? What? What would we talk about? Well, you know how when we were dating. Yeah, well, I was dating. Now that we pretty much know each other, there's nothing there. There's nothing to me, for sure. I'm just a shallow, wicked, empty person. There's not a lot of interest to me. I mean, once you meet me, you pretty much see what I got. There's nothing more. I mean, that is worthless. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm okay with it, but it isn't really a lot to offer. So you're sitting across from somebody else, and she'd be looking at me. It's like, who are you looking at? You know, it's like she was trying to penetrate through me. It's like, there's nothing here, Peg. Peg, believe me, this is it. this skin and bones, there's nothing here. There's no depth. There's nothing. I don't know, and the next thought will be wicked or stupid or I don't know what it'll be. I just don't have any goods. Y'all with me? Okay. I know you're glad that somebody is extreme like I am and that it isn't you, so it makes you feel a little bit better. But I'm extreme. I am an extreme person. I go to the hill all the way. You know, if it's sin, I'm into it deep. And if it's Jesus, I'll go deep. But I never got into Jesus because I was just scared of the guy. I didn't know what he'd do to me. You know, I don't believe in him. It just seemed like a fairy tale. Who do men say that I am? That's what he asked Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. I want one of those. I want to have a revelation of the living God to me personally. Jim and God. I want God to show me who Jesus is. God, is this Jesus? Is this the real person? Am I supposed to know him? And then what? I know he's a good example. I can read the story. Sounds like a guy very different to me. You hit him on the cheek, he turned the other one. He hit me on the... You're not going to get to me. No, you're not. I'm going to hit you first. I'm going to try to beat you to it. I'll stay up all night if I have to. I want to think out where I need to be at any given moment. I don't want to just be hit blind. It bothers me when people get to me. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't like it. I want to get to them before they get to me. Does that make sense, Judy? I don't want them to get to me. I'll stay up early. I'll get up early. Whatever I have to do, try to beat them. I mean, Peg could never control me. See, that was one of the things when we got married. She put the old control thing out. Hey, Peg, what are you doing? Well, you need to not do this and do this. I'm not doing any of that stuff. Well, you got to stop doing this. I'm going to keep doing it. And the more you tell me not to do it, I'll do it more. I'll double it. So, she wanted to control me. Well, are we going to go to church or not? No. Well, don't forget you're the minister. Oh, yeah, that's right. I better go. That's our bread and butter. Okay, I'll go. I know I'm not pleasing everybody here today, but it's all right. This is the actual truth. It's a bad thing, but it's the truth. And so, if I'd go to somebody's house and they would say, Pastor, would you pray? I really didn't want to, but I knew that was my job to do it. But I really didn't want to. So I would say this, because I remember we did this at a certain house. So we'll let the man of the house pray. And he said, I'll let my wife pray. So we all kept ditching it till it got back to the legalist. And then that person had to do the praying. Yeah, there you have it. Let's just eat. So, I, you know, if you really got to know me, you found out I was a complete phony. And I didn't mind, because I knew I was. It didn't bother me. It's just that if you expected me to fake it, I just could fake for so many minutes, and then I didn't want to fake any longer. Same thing in the marriage. Peggy would ask me, do you love me? Well, no. I mean, if you're really asking, I mean, like, why are you asking? Well, how come we were married? I don't know. Why'd you marry? I don't know. Me neither. I guess I was just that age. I just did it. I don't know. I have no idea. I have no deep thoughts. Isn't that awful? Isn't that terrible? So I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you love me? It'd be 6-7 hours later before she would say no. You know, I said, why didn't you say that 6-7 hours ago? Could have saved all this. I knew you didn't. It's obvious to me. Why would you? I wouldn't. But so we're even. So what's the big thing? Why do you cry every once in a while? Because I don't love you. I don't have any. There's nothing in here. Look, there's no love. There's no nothing here. Here. See, there's nothing in here. I'm just devoid. I'm just nothing. Hey, besides, it's in the Bible. God is love. See? Only God is love. I'm not a love. I don't have any love. Now, you mean fake it? I just can't fake it that long, but I'll fake it for a few minutes. It's not going to fake it for long. I think Jesus is supposed to be in us to love. Wow. Who is this Jesus guy? He walks on water. He's a nice guy, obeys his mom, creates miracles, stops storms. That's a cool guy. So I liked reading about him because it was the only way out of my dismal situation. Because Peg was miserable. I wasn't miserable. Because I could always invent stuff, make up stuff, live a fantasy life, you know, just keep busy, whatever. I always have something to do. I'm an interesting person to me. I mean, I'm fascinating to me. I am. I have never been bored, ever. I'm always thinking of something, doing something, even if I'm looking like nothing. I'm having fun. But she was miserable. Say, Peg, I think you need Jesus. That's what I think you need, Jesus. He'll get you off my back. Get Jesus. Get that guy. He's fulfilling. So does this make I'm reaching somebody. I don't know who it is today. Is it you, John? Okay. Well, I'll just focus right here then. But you know what? She went down the hall and found Jesus from some girl. So she came back and said, well, how'd you do? So I got Jesus. Ah, that's stupid. You didn't get Jesus. Yeah, I did. Oh, I don't believe in that. What's that lady know? That we were at seminary. Because you could get Jesus at seminary. And so I was mad at that lady for doing that. Like, well, I'm the boss. I'm the head of the house. I should have done that. I resented that lady for helping her out. It's like, what do you mean? Now you're independent or something? I was a crazy person. Can you tell how crazy I am? That's completely crazy. I told her to go down and do it. She did it. It came back, and I criticized her. That is a typical man. That is a typical man. So anyway, so fortunately, she really didn't get Jesus, but she just got kind of more religion or something. So we went for years like that until I one day said, you know, I got up, and I just told the truth to the church, and then I started on a hunt. I started on a hunt. That was, 1970? And when did I find him? 71. Okay, so I hunted, and I told the people, you know, you're not going to like this, but I think we all ought to look for God, everybody in the church. And whoever finds him first, you know, let it out. Well, that was the charismatic movement time. So some people began to get the charismatic movement, spoke in tongues. And I remember this one lady, she was always like this. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm praying for you. You're praying for me? Well, what are you saying? I said, what is that? I'm speaking in tongues. Well, it's just mumbling. No, it's by the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that. Where'd you get that idea? It's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. So I went and I read it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I see that. Is that what you're doing? But what's it doing for you? I said, I don't think it's working on me. How's that helping? You just, you know, you're one of the flakiest people in my church. That's what I told her. She was. She was unstable. So I think this is just a psychological thing that unstable people catch a hold of to make it through. I don't believe in this. Well, you don't have any power in your ministry, she said. You know, that's cool. You are right. I don't. Everything in the ministry is just me making it up. I mean, there isn't any God. There's no Jesus. I'm just saying words. You are right. I need what you're talking about, but I don't believe in it. And if it does to me what it just did to you, I don't want that. So I went around the United States. I went to different meetings. I met everybody you could meet. I did. I read all their books and their tapes and went to the meetings. And you can name a person, I was with them. I went to them and watched them up close trying to get it, see how they did it, and do different things and so on. I tried to watch that. They always tried to get me, do you need the baptism? No, I've got it. I've already got it. Yes. I don't want you hooked. You know, I don't want you playing with me. Well, just sit down here in the middle of this circle here. Just sit right here. We'll lay hands on you. And it scared me. It's like, whoa, this is not genuine, people. Nothing's happening. I mean, I sat there thinking, maybe it will. Okay, go. Nope, nothing. It's not working. So I knew it's because I was too smart or too intelligent or too stupid or too something. I just knew I'll never get it. I'm just not a spiritual person. I'm a totally dead, non-spiritual person. Is anybody else like me? I just don't have any spiritual in me. I'm more, you know, honest about, I don't believe in that. Should I lie? Does God see through lies? Because I could lie and make everybody happy, but I don't think God likes liars. So I'm just going to tell the truth. I don't believe in that. So I kept hunting, and then, you know, a time later, I got it. I went out and I went to Phoenix and read this book and went out there and I saw some people, and I liked it. I liked, they were all ladies. What I saw, I said, this is it. These people actually know God, and I know that they know. But I want to live with them. So I told Peggy, let's go. This was Christmas of what? 1971? Christmas. This is how I got saved. I went, lived out there with the ladies, and I resented them for about 3 days. Very critical of them because they were too spiritual and so on. But after the third day, I realized, you know, these ladies are genuine. They really have something. I don't have anything. And one night I was walking around. This was between Christmas and New Year's of 1971. I was walking around on the hall. You're supposed to go to bed. They had a little curfew thing. You're supposed to go to bed at 10:30 or something and pray. But I was out walking around. And all of a sudden, God, who wasn't on the curfew either, God met me. I'm sorry. You know, God was naughty. But he met me. He met me there, and I knew in one instant there was a God. I had a personal revelation of the living God. And I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew. I mean, I didn't even know. All my brains didn't help. All my emotions meant nothing. I all of a sudden knew there is a God, and Jesus is his son, and I'm going to make him my Savior right now. So I said, Lord, I read this in a book somewhere, because Lutherans don't do this. Lutherans just get baptized, and that's how you become a Christian. But this one, you have to actually have a personal relationship with Jesus. So I said, Lord, I want to have a personal relationship with you. I confess all my sins. It's like the Baptists say. I confess them all. I make you the Savior of my life. And then I remembered you were supposed to say, Lord. Now I thought about that for a second, and I thought, hold on. Just wait a minute. I'm not ready to make you the Lord. I want you to be Savior. It never occurred to me until that minute. It's like, I only want half the package. You know, it's bacon and eggs. Hold the bacon. You know, just I'll take the eggs. You know, it's like, no, you got to take the whole thing. It's like, oh, I can't. I want you to be Savior because I need help. And I believe in you now. I know there's a God. I know there's a God. I know I'm not that God. And nobody else is either. All right. So, okay, could I make this distinction right now? Could I make you the Lord of my life legally, but not practically? You see what I'm saying? It's called de jure de facto. De facto, I still want to be Lord. Because I will. If I said to you right now, I make you the Lord, I know I wouldn't do it. I would disobey right away. So I'll legally say you're my Lord, and I mean it too. I want you to be my Lord, but you're going to have to kill me and run me down. Don't ask me to help you. Don't ask me to lie for you or help you or, you know, whatever. I don't want to be a hypocrite. If you do it all. And if you don't do it, then I can't use you because I'm no good at promises. It's okay? And so I thought, I'm certain of it. God said it was okay. So that gave him the time to kill me off, the very thing you have to do. I want you, Jesus, to do whatever you're going to do. I give you permission to do it, but don't ask me to help you. I'm going to run every time I see you, and I'll try to escape you and stuff, but you have permission to run me down. And apparently you're bigger than me, and so you can do that part. But I'm not going to be a legalist liar. You just do it. So 6 months later, I was on 820, and Jesus said to me, how you doing? Good. Good. He said, are you happy? Sure. Yeah. I can sin all I want, get to go to heaven. Cool. Yeah, of course I'm happy. Why'd you ask? Well, wouldn't you like to make me the Lord of your life? No, no. We just keep that little bargain we have about de jure de facto. I would like to postpone that as long as I possibly could. Are you happy? Yeah, I said I was. But I realized when he was asking, I wasn't. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, no. And I didn't even know that. I did not know what God was asking me. This was a personal talk with God. He said, okay, here's the reason. You're not making me the Lord of your life. There's where you're happy. That's why you're unhappy. Well, I don't know that. Is that the thing? That's all? I'll miss sin. I'll miss it. I'm so familiar with it. I just can't imagine not having any. No, I can't do that. I'm not ready yet to give up my life. Jim, are you happy? No. Okay, no. What is it that would make you happy? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Was there anything you don't have that you'd like? Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I don't know. I've probably got everything. I can live the way I want, plus go to heaven. I think I got everything. Okay, I don't have everything. What is it that I need? Tell me. You're asking. You're the asker. I'm just, what do I know? Why am I unhappy, God? And he said, if you died right now, what would I write on your tombstone? I don't know anything. Just the guy was wicked till the end. I don't know. What would you write? He said, but you're not happy. No, I'm not. So why do you want to be in my kingdom? I don't know. I do, though, because I'm going to head in the wrong direction, definitely. I don't want to go that way. But you don't want me to be the Lord of your life? No. No. I want you to be Lord whenever I need you to be. I mean, I'm still in charge of that one. So he said, what is it I could write on that tombstone? I said, well, I guess I know why I'm unhappy. It just came to me. I want to have everything Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, the prophets, Jesus, Paul, Luther, I want to have everything they had. Whatever they experienced, I don't want to be second. I want to experience everything they had. Then I wouldn't be unhappy. And I didn't even know I believed that. But somewhere along the line of reading the Bible so much, I started to think, you know, I want to be like those guys. And I don't want to be less. I don't want to be like 50th or 10 millionth. I want to have the same experience. I want to know Jesus like Paul did. I want to know Jesus like Luther did, Wesley, and so on. That's what I want. Okay, so he said, okay, well, you'll have to let me be the Lord of your life to do that. All right? Good enough. From this hour on, you are de facto Lord of my life. Whatever I think, I'll give it to you. Whatever I feel, I'll turn it over to you. I'll feel what you want me to feel, think what you want me to think, want what you want me to want. I don't care what it is. Well, that gave him full permission to change my marriage, change my relationship to my mom, change everything. So I said, no, I'm not happy anyway, going my way. So what'll it hurt to go your way? I'm not really making it, so I'm going your way. Boom. Miracles began, I mean within hours. Supernatural miracles began to happen in my life just because I said that. I just said, okay, I make you now complete Lord of my life. Has anybody ever done that here? I make you the total Lord of my life. I don't have a marriage now except you run it. I don't have a church except you run it. I don't have a life except you do it. Do you understand? That's a big risk right there. You're definitely dead. When you even just to say that's scary. Hello? Let me see a show of hands again of all those that have done that. Lord, I really seriously want you to be the Lord, the King over my life. Don't let me go to bed when I want. Don't let me say anything, and so on. I know I'll sin, but I'm going to say I'm sorry right away, and I'm going to change, just like that. I'll do whatever you say. Well, that absolutely, totally altered my life. And every sin began to go. Sicknesses, all kinds of things in my life, just miracles. One second one way, next second another way. Isn't that funny, Joe? It is funny. I mean, it was like God was blowing me away, like, whoa, I don't think everybody knows this. All you got to do is it's kind of simple. Make him the Savior, then make him the Lord. That's what Messiah means. So I began to understand, wow, this is a good life. I like this Christian life. I'm going to try it with my mom. I tried that out. That was neat. I'm going to wait on Peggy a little bit because she's mean. She's probably vengeful after years of abusing her. She might want a little payback. I think I'll hold her off. So she heard me about my mom, and, you know, it's like, hey, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Everything's great, you know. In every area of my life, I was just leaving Peg to the last, kind of holding that last because she scared me. It's like I know she's going to want to rip my guts out. Because I was, you know, I was a ruthless person, and I was openly ruthless. You know, so she'll just put that knife in slowly, just like that, and just rip me apart until there's nothing left of me. And I said, God, could we leave Peg a little bit to later? No. Let's go ahead with Peg now. Oh, I'm so sorry about that Lord thing. I don't think I can handle it. She's going to kill me. I would picture Peggy, I'd be up in my little castle, and she'd ride up like a knight, you know, open the door. Who is it? Your wife. Hi. What do you want? I want to come in. The door's locked. You can't come up here. What are you going to do? I just need something. Whatever. I got a bucket here. Whatever it is you need, just put it in there, or, you know, I'll send something down. He says, are you thinking of, like, intimacy or something like that, or being, no, just put it in the bucket. So I didn't want to have any close contact because I was scared. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, she'd say things like, love. It's like, just love me. It's like, that's scary. Jesus, can you do that? Could you do that? You go and do it. I don't want to do it. I'm phony. I'm just too phony. I don't have any real love in me. I'm not a lover. I'm not like other people that can kind of fake it for a while. I'm not very good at faking. Come back tomorrow. So every day she'd kind of come there. Knock, knock. Could you come back tomorrow, maybe? I'm not going to do it. And so God said, no, just trust me. Open up. So one day she rode up to the door and, you know, can I come in? Yeah, it's open. Okay. She sounded friendly enough. So she came up the stairs. You know, it's a long winding stair to get up to the top of the tower where I was. Hi. Hi. I'm scared. What for? You. What do you think I'm going to do? I don't know, but I don't want it. Whatever it is. And so she said, well, you know, I'm not going to do anything. Okay. You sure? It's okay. I didn't believe her. I knew she was going to do something because she wanted love. You know, like, Peg, I don't have any. Jesus has it. Jesus has got the love. You're looking for Jesus. I'm not Jesus. And I put that thing on the refrigerator. Picture me and picture Jesus. This one's Jesus. This is me. And you know, I knew she wanted me to be Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I can't make you happy or anything like that. I don't have anything. I love Jesus and he loves me, but you got to get one of those on your own. You can't get it from me. I want it from you. I want Jesus through you to love me. No, no, no. See, he does it direct. He does it direct. I want it, Jesus, through you. No, 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 no. I'm not good. Get this down. It's got to be Jesus. Direct. You and Jesus. You go back to your castle. You talk to Jesus. He'll be there. I want Jesus to be right here through you. I knew it. I knew you were going to cut me open. And she just stuck the knife in slowly and just began to turn. You're not going to let me go, are you? No. You know, and so that was great. That was the best thing that ever happened. Do you understand? But it killed me. That was the last death. Like, you got to do this with your wife. See, it's easy to do it with strangers out there, Africans, mother, you know, something far away. But it's hard to do it with people close to you. Are you hearing me? Because they look at you, they see you night and day. They're right there. I don't have my glasses on right now, so I can't see your face. But I hope you're looking like this, you know, means something. But, you know, people want to get from each other what they can only get from God. So I knew she was going to punish me for, you know, some time. And about 15 years later, she quit. Because I asked her, well, Peg, how long are you going to punish me? How long did you punish me? I don't know, 20, 22, 3, 4, I don't know, long time, I guess. You're not thinking of that, are you? You know how old we'd be? I mean, I don't blame you, but, I'm not going to quit. But that's a waste of life. Don't you think you could just kind of forgive me and move on? Let's be friendly. But she wanted me to feel the same pain she had felt all those years. Dude, isn't that amazing, Joe? She wanted vengeance. I quoted the scripture. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You don't want to do vengeance on me. Let Jesus do it. No. You want to have vengeance on me. Yes. You know that's nasty. I don't care. That, Joyce, did you ever experience this? You did? It's good, isn't it? It'll kill you. It'll kill you. So anyway, for, you know, the 15 years or whatever it was. And then one day, all of a sudden, she stopped. And I knew it. So, what are you doing? I'm loving you. You love me? I'm no good. Nah, you're okay. Really? You're just saying that. You really? There's nothing here. It's just Jesus. God wants to show you who his son is. Not in somebody else, in you. To you. For you. With you. Totally transform your life. So here's what Jesus said. Peter, what my Father just revealed to you, what you just testified of, you said, I'm the Messiah. Or what you said was, the Messiah is you. The Messiah is you. The Son of Man is the Son of God. Flesh and blood didn't show you that. My Father in heaven gave you that personal revelation. You are the first of my disciples. You are the first person on earth that knows who I am. He had a revelation. Now, here's what he said. But you are Petros. Petros. It means a pebble. Peter, your name is Petros. In the Greek language, Petros means a small rock. Now, it could be a rock that's this big. But whatever the size is, it has to be a rock a man could carry. So you are a rock that a man could carry. That's all you can do. Petros. But upon this rock, I will build my church. The word that Jesus used was not Petras. The pronoun tuta does not refer back to Petros, Peter the rock, but this rock. This pronoun is now modifying the word rock. But the rock that he used there was Petra. Petros, Petra. Petros, Petra. You're a little Petros, but upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. Now, Petra is a huge rock, so big, no man can move it. And it just so happened they were in Caesarea Philippi, which is where Mount Hermon is. And in front of Mount Hermon is a huge overhanging cliff, hundreds and hundreds of feet tall. And it has a cave in it. And in that cave, there's all kinds of pagan deities in that cave and so on, is the source of the Jordan River. Michener wrote a book on this called The Source. And this huge, like right here, only it's, 100 feet tall. It's huge. And it's deep. And the river, Jordan, that feeds the whole land of Israel. You cut it off and there is no Israel. All you have to do is divert those waters, Israel's finished. That's why if Lebanon, which is just on the other side, would ever take Israel, all I got to do is divert that water, Israel's finished. So there's your life-giving water right there. You can cut off the whole land of Israel right here. So Jesus said, but upon this rock, Petra, not a small handheld pebble, but a huge overhanging cliff, I will build my church. Now, this rock is so big, you can actually go inside of it. So I could go, and I did go. You just go inside, you go around the water thing there, all the rivers coming out, and you get inside the cave. And he said, this is a house of refuge. You could hide in here during a storm. You see, the rock that Jesus was referring to was himself. He's the Petra. In other words, what he's saying is, Peter, you, son of Jonah, you are not the rock upon which I'll build my church. That's what the Catholics believe, that Peter is the rock. But Peter is Petras, a very small pebble. Jesus can't build a church on a small pebble. He's building it on a massive house of refuge, a rock so big, so powerful, that life-giving waters go forth from it. So what he's saying is, I'm not talking about this physical rock. I'm talking about myself. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Jesus is the rock upon which salvation builds the kingdom. So he is the priest. He is the king. He is the merciful Savior. He is the powerful Lord. Jesus didn't want me just to let him be Savior. He wanted me also to make him Lord of my life, that everything I think and say and do and want and feel, I have to give it to Jesus. Trust me, Jim, I made you, I've redeemed you, now I want to lord you. I want to be the Lord of your life and your marriage. I want to be the Lord of your life and your church. I want to be the Lord of your life and your finances and the food you eat and the clothing you wear, the way you decorate your home, the time you spend, when you go to bed. I want to be Lord. I don't want you to make any decisions here on. Jesus, no one else is doing this. Well, I don't want to be the first. Get some other people. I'll follow later. No. This is a personal, just me and you. It's a killer. Good. Now, Jesus said to me, if I was your creator, and then I was your redeemer, shouldn't I also be your Lord? Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. You didn't do anything to create yourself. You didn't do anything to redeem yourself. You can't do anything to live your own life. You don't even know how to live. You don't know what life is. You don't know what happiness is. You don't know anything. This is your beloved, right here, Peggy. I'm going to use Peggy to bless you. Well, could you fix her? No. I'm not going to change her. I'm going to change you. Start on her. Ladies first? No. I'm going to leave her the way she is. Mean. She's gotten real mean since I told her I loved her. Now she's trying to prove it or something. She's doing everything she can to hurt me, see if I'll run away. She's mean now. She was nicer before when I was dominant. Now she's mean. She's getting dominant. You know, she always wanted to control me, but now she had me. You know, so I told her, okay. The church is not first. You are. You're first. Whatever you want. She's good. Then you mean when I say don't do something, you won't do it? That's right. That's where God put me right there. You can ruin my life. Say, okay, just put your life right here in my hands, Peggy said. She just loved it. I'm telling you, that was delicious to Peggy. I can hurt you like you hurt me all those years? Yes. Do you see that? Do y'all understand that? That's the way God had me. I was treating Jesus like that. You see that? And God treated me to say, Jim, don't be afraid. It's okay. You'll resurrect after you're dead. So, I get it. You want me to die not in the next world, but right now. You don't want me just to spiritually believe. You want me to actually believe in this world. I don't think a lot of your church people know that. Did you know that I don't think the church understands this message? Upon this rock, I will build my church. And Peter was the first rock that got tied to Jesus, the chief cornerstone, the chief rock. And he's a living God, meaning every day, every minute, every second, you're getting a revelation from the living God in heaven. So that whatever he says, you says. Whatever he does, you does. In other words, as in heaven, so on earth. That's the kingdom. Now, I want to tell you something. Here's what church is. This is not church. You can't tell from this group whether this is church or not. Here's the real church. The church is where somebody has built his or her life on the Savior, Jesus, and on the Lord, who is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. Now, as Lord, you're not just thanking Jesus as Savior, but you're actually hearing the living God reveal to you that Jesus is the Messiah, the rock upon which the church is built. And you're getting a revelation, and then you testify of that. So as God reveals to you, just like is happening to some right now, as God reveals to you, all of a sudden you're going, I'm hearing God. It's not me. This is not my thoughts, my feelings, my desire. This is actually God. I can tell he's changing me right now. He's inviting me to die so he can live. I feel right now that I'm wanting what he's saying, and my flesh doesn't want that. But it's happening. I'm getting the revelation, and I'm going to testify. Now, let's say we had 65 people here or whatever we have. But only two people in the church actually heard the living God during the time we gathered together. Then Jesus said, that's all there is to the church. Because a church is where two or three are gathered in my name and can hear me, see me, know me. And then they testify. And all you need is two witnesses to testify that was church. I could put it another way. If I'm the only one that has heard God, and you also, we had church. It only takes you having a personal, continual, constant revelation of the living God. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's not just getting saved. It's having a continual revelation that issues in a new kind of marriage, a new kind of life, a new kind of church, a new kind of business, a new kind of everything. He's transforming this world just like that water that comes out of the cave transforms the land of Israel and makes it into a garden. So God is wanting you to trust him. He's saying basically, I want you to trust me, and I will change everything about your life. Give me your life. Put your life in my hands. Okay, let's take our life. Everybody, you can be a hypocrite and do it. It's okay. Everybody, take your life. Come on. It's okay. I'll wait. I want everyone to do it. Hold it up so I can see it. I don't want any cheaters. Okay. Take your life, and now hand it to Jesus. Here, Jesus. Yeah, that's good. Now, take all your problems, put those in your hand, and cast those on the Lord. Now you got no problems, and you've just given your life to Jesus, and he's going to take care of your life from now on. That's all he's asking you is, trust me. I made you. I redeemed you. You didn't have anything to do with it. I'm a good God. Trust me. It won't hurt you. It'll hurt your flesh, but it won't hurt you. Time to grow up. Time to trust God. Don't just believe in this stuff. Do it. The Holy Spirit's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Pastor, that's a hard word. Of course it's a hard word to your flesh, but it's a great word to your spirit. Your spirit is actually saying, yes, Lord, that's what I want. I want to be like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Elijah. I want to be like Jesus and Paul and Luther, and I want to be like the saints before I die. I don't want to just hear this and be a hypocrite and sit in church and just profess it with my mouth. I want to live this in my family, in my life. I want to have the happiness and the joy and the peace of the kingdom of God on earth. As it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. This is why Jesus came, and it's why you have to have a personal revelation from God every minute of your life. Who is Jesus? This is not a one-time thing. It's constant, continual. Who is Jesus? That even the storms obey him. That even headaches go away. That even, poverty disappears. That even your depression is gone. That even. Let the kingdom of God come. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Not in the future, today. So what it is a prayer. God, let your kingdom come through me today. Let it come to me. Let it come. Let it come today through me. Use me. Abuse me. Just do whatever you want with me because I trust you. I trust you. I don't trust myself anymore. I trust you. Everything you have right now is all you need. You don't need anything more. You can be happy with what you have right now. With Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. I'm telling you, if you got Jesus, you got everything. You got everything. When you get Jesus, you get everything else. Not in the world to come, this world. The only thing that God wants from you is what you did. Give me your life. Trust me. Just go ahead. Die. Take up your cross. Give me your life. I gave my life for you. Your turn. You give your life for me. And you'll see the kingdom come. Let's have a couple testimonies. Larry.
You said something, unless you're ready to be lorded, then he can baptize. Well, you didn't say that, but I'm seeing that, though. If you want to be lorded, then he'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. I never saw it like that before, but that's true.
Yeah.
I've been wondering, like, there's a lot of people that struggle to receive the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues, and I might have been too quick to pray for people that just wanted it as an accessory to their life, but they might not have been ready to be lorded.
Amen.
That's good.
It's powerful. It's powerful what he just said. It's powerful. Good. Who else? Who else has a testimony? Right here.
How do I say this? This last day or two, I was actually thinking, who is Jesus? And, well, divinely inspired, that's what you're talking about today. A couple years ago, I was a truck driver listening to your tapes, driving all over the U.S. And in passing on one of your tapes, you mentioned your experience in Arizona. I've been waiting for the last 3 years for you to expand on it. Today you did. It's very, very powerful. Now my question. At the very beginning of the message, you were talking about the book of Revelations on how if you're adding or removing from this book, what do you think about the books of the Apocrypha, the book of Jasher? What do you think about that?
They're not written by God. They're human books about morals and legalism and so on, purely external, every one of them. None of them are the worship of God as Jesus has taught us. So none of those books ever made it into either canon. The Roman Catholic Church never adopted them in as the part of their canon. They're just there as edifying books, helpful books, a little bit of history, so on, full of fables, full of all kinds of things, very human, every single one.
So they don't count.
Right. Yeah. None of them say, thus saith the Lord, by the way. None of them are directed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Just, I was blessed because I was starting to believe some lies about trying to get my wife, I'm wanting my wife to change, but just, you know, you reminded me that I'm giving that up. Just love her the way she is.
Man, it's good. Yeah, I just love her the way she is. What he meant was take the pressure off of her. That's what he meant. Don't put any pressure on her. Keep the pressure on yourself. That's what he meant. Yeah.
Well, my husband and I, we went yesterday to a wedding, and I've been in a lot of weddings, but the wedding yesterday, it was so meaningful to me. The pastor that get the wedding done, he was a minister, and the way he did it, it was about Jesus. He was speaking about how the Lord is the best of the marriage on every single step we everybody do. And I don't used to be a crying person on the weddings, but lately it's like I can see the things what they really mean. You know, it's not about us getting the marriage done. It's not about us fixing the marriage. It's not about us trying to be good wives or good husband. It's about trusting the Lord to work in our marriage.
Paul. Who else? Who else? John.
I know just about it as every sermon now, but especially today, it's like you told my story. Me and my wife, the battles we went through. You look at the moment and situation, like Jim was saying back there, all the things that are going on in your life, you're like, you're confused. It's like, Lord, what's going on? You said all these things. But after things are done, and after the battles are, all the weapons are laid down, you kind of look around and you think, wow, after the dust has settled, what a perfect work he's done in our lives. So I just thank God for the teaching.
Powerful. Let your husband or wife, let God use your husband or wife to slay you. It's not a problem. It's a good thing. She's a blessing. Harold, have you found that? He's not going to get paid if you don't let him give you that microphone.
So this week I had to take a trip, and I just rebelled against it inside. Why am I doing this? Lord, why am I doing this? My wife spoke up and said, let your light so shine. And it's like, that's really what I'm there for. That's where I'm being sent to. Not to be me, but to let him be him in me.
That's it.
And that's an ongoing lesson every single day, every circumstance, every situation is. When we start to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, then it just dims the light. When we just submit and say, okay, God, what are you up to now? Jesus? Okay. I can't do it without you.
Amen.
That's good. And I don't even know what I'm doing with you, but you do. And this was so amazing because where I went was like the United Nations, Chinese, Europeans, Asians, brilliant people. They were geophysicists. What am I doing amongst a bunch of geophysicists? I forgot to look it up in the dictionary what it meant. Well, anyhow, they're exploring for natural resources, you know, in this case oil and gas, but just God, just guys come up to me and start talking about life things in the midst of all this technology and stuff, and it's just an opportunity. And brothers in China now, Jesse's off to China.
Yeah.
And particularly was drawn, the Chinese were particularly drawn to me. I was drawn to them, but I just had a lot of face to face with them. And all of a sudden, I began to see them in a different light. All of a sudden, I realized why Jesse was going to China. I thought, why are you going to China? I have no desire to go to China. And I still don't, Lord. Too much work. But at the same time, you just fall in love with them. Not because of me, because I'm still the same old phony person, you know. But Jesus is real. There is no shadow. There's no doubt in him as to what he's doing. So, praise God. But that little word, that word that went, that sent me out was, let your light shine. Well, what it means is Jesus, the light of Jesus. Let him shine. Yeah. Let him do what he wants to do.
It's powerful.
Yeah. I already know you're worthless. She's lived with me too long.
Yeah.
Praise God. No, she loves me.
Amen.
I love her too.
Yeah. She had to die too. All right. Anyone else? It's good. God is good. I love you all. God is good. Christ in me loves you. Christ in you loves me. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to pretend. Christ in you, that's what sets us free. All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, we give you the praise and the glory that you have revealed your Son Jesus, Yeshua, to each one of us as our Messiah, HaMashiach. Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus, you are the Messiah of Israel and our personal Savior and Lord. You've saved us. Now you're lording us. Go ahead, Lord. We give you permission. We have given you today our lives as a church. You know each one of us personally. You know how scared we are to trust you. But you also know that we have faith that we can trust you and we can't trust ourselves. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. You bless us now, not according to our flesh, but according to our spirit, according to your purpose, your intention to give us the kingdom, to give us more than we deserve, so that our eyes are open and they say, wow, ever since I made the Lord, Lord of my life, personally. Things have been rough on my flesh, but they've been great for my spirit. And I have learned to live by every word that constantly comes out of the mouth of God, and that's why I'm here. And I will hear you say someday, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, it's not up to us. We didn't do it. It's what you did. It's what you did. We died so that you may live. We gave up our lives because we didn't know what to do with them. We didn't have any ability to handle our own lives. We were way overwhelmed by life. But you showed us how to live. And now you're working that in us so that we also experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. It's not just the oil and gas that's buried that enriches us. It's also the Holy Spirit built upon that rock, that house of refuge, that place of salvation, that rock upon which you built your church, and to build and show forth the kingdom of God day by day by day by day, hour by hour. Bless this people, Lord God. And now may the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And we ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen.